Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Thinking Like a Bank, where we show you how to think like a bank using the same strategies and principles that banks use to help you find more financial freedom in your life. I'm your host, Sari Ibrahim. So as a financial professional and helping clients with infinite banking and bank on yourself, I'm always looking for new clients. That's part of my job. That's why I started this show and why I do guest appearances on other podcasts. And one of the ways to do so is through referrals, and referrals through clients and prospects. That's a big way. But that's not the only way. It could also be through referral partners, such as CPAs and lawyers. And although that's a strong method of acquiring new clients, it's not that easy. There has to be a lot of trust in place. There's a lot of skills that need to be that you need to have in order to do so. And I've been doing a lot of research on this, and I found this company online called Elite Resource Team that helps advisors and accountants and lawyers connect together and create these strategic partnerships. And lucky for you guys, I actually have the managing partner of the company with us today here. His name is Anton Anderson. He's the managing partner of Elite Resource Team. He began his career in 2003 with Smith Barney while studying business in college and graduated from the University of California, Santa Barbara in the top 3% of his class. In 2008, he co-founded SPL Financial, which grew into a thriving practice before selling in 2014 to start Elite Resource Team. Recognized as one of the top training companies for financial advisors and accountants, Elite Resource Team has thousands of clients across North America. Anton has developed a diverse career as an investor, an advisor, and CPA consultant. Anton is a published author and has lived in the United States, Australia, and the United Kingdom. He currently resides in San Diego, California, with his wife and two children. Outside of work, he's a competitive surfer, avid public speaker, and is involved in numerous charitable organizations. Anton, welcome to the show.
Thank you, my friend. Yeah, nice to be here. I like the intro. Siri, it's a pleasure to be here, and I look forward to having some good dialogue today.
Yeah, thank you, and I appreciate you joining us. Do you mind, before we jump into like how to create strategic partnerships and the benefits of doing so, do you mind sharing with us your background and how you got into financial services?
Happy to. You certainly touched on it, obviously, from like a 30,000 foot view. I'll just kind of add some color around that, right? So started studying finance, I don't know how, but in high school, like early days, just really was fascinated by the whole stock market, Wolf of Wall Street, and that concept, Glengarry, Glenn Ross, Broiler Room. And so I thought that was the direction that I really wanted to go. I was attracted to the big wirehouse environment. So I started at Smith Barney, actually, while I was in college studying business. And just that office, or perhaps the manager I was under, wasn't a great fit for me. Dad was an Eagle Scout. Mom was a elementary school professional. And, you know, I'll give you just one example of why it wasn't a great fit. I was the top producing intern one afternoon or one week. And as a reward, I got to spend, I think it was like 15 minutes with the top dog in the office. And the deal was you get to ask any question you want to the top dog. So I asked him, if you could name one thing that's responsible for your success, what would it be? And he said, if you really want to know, I'll tell you. Every morning I get here, I leave all my morals and values on the elevator. I thought, oh, wait, what? Hey, that's not what my Eagle Scout father taught me. So, you know, I didn't last all that long there. I left that wirehouse environment, and I don't think it's all wirehouse by any means, but it was just a bad experience. So I went and joined a boutique firm here in San Diego focused on high net worth clients. One thing, though, that I really did get from Smith Barney is out of all the wirehouses, they have the oldest CPA Alliance training program. And so that's kind of where that seed was originally planted in the early 2000s. When I joined the boutique firm that focused on the high net worth individuals, I kind of started seeing more of the role of the CPA and the attorney kind of behind the wealthy client as really a pretty influential decision maker. And so in 2000 and roughly nine, you know, that firm shut its doors. I went out kind of on my own, and just through a series of experiences, finally decided I had kind of gained enough experience and probably a bit more confidence, decided to go back out after the centers of influence and primarily the CPAs. And so I stumbled around for a number of years, ended up joining some really good training programs, some of which are still around today, some of which aren't, you know, perfect client winning with CPAs, pro to pro. Dominique Molina has a program. So enjoyed it, grew a good practice, got to the point in about 2014 where advisors started reaching out and saying, hey, if you'd be willing to talk to me a little bit about how you've grown your firm through CPA partnerships, I'd be willing to buy you dinner. And it kind of went from buy you dinner to I'd be willing to pay you for an hour of your time on the phone. And I think after the third time that happened, a little light bulb went off that just thought, you know, there's probably an opportunity to do something here bigger than just working with three or four CPAs in San Diego, potentially roll out something kind of more national, train advisors how to build these types of partnerships. I think it was a little bit ahead of its time. It was very hard at the time to really get in front of good CPAs, talk to them about the win-win approach of working with their clients, not just trading referrals, but really offering a more proactive, value-based type of experience, especially for their best clients. That was 2014, 2015, and you know, things have dramatically changed, I think, within the last probably 12 to 24 months, partly because of COVID, partly because of political shifts, tax code shifts, and also things like outsourcing and technology. I think we've seen now this kind of wild, wild west where both of our industries, being the financial advisory space as well as the accounting space, have really been forced to kind of redefine the value that they bring to the marketplace. And see, so you see some people kind of thriving in that, but most are struggling. And so the idea of coming together, I think, is more attractive for both industries than it ever has been. And the results are significantly better as well. So it's been a really fun journey. Basically figured out some point along the way that I enjoyed the entrepreneurial side behind the scenes, probably more, and I was probably better at it than I enjoyed sitting down face-to-face with clients. So I haven't done that for a number of years, primarily just been focused on growing a training and consulting firm. We've got about 1,100 advisors throughout North America that we work with, and about 60 in what we call a mastermind community. So I don't know if that's more or less detail than you want, but I'll hand it back over to you. And I'm happy to, like I said, you know, I'm a very transparent person, so happy to go into as much detail as you'd like.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I love it. The story and telling everything, it's a nice way to see it from that perspective. And I agree with you. I think that obviously things have shifted a lot in the last 10 years, 15 years. A lot of things have shifted in the financial advisory space as well as the CPA space. Now, why is it? So I'm kind of curious, why is it that CPAs are the most sought after professionals? Like, why are they arguably the best referral partners for financial advisors?
Yeah. So you touched on a couple of things there. First of all, I'll just speak specifically about why. And a lot of times we'll reference a CPA, but that really includes like enrolled agents, even some tax preparers. So I'm just going to use the umbrella term accountant. Okay. And I'll speak specifically why an accountant that works with a end user client, so not like a Sempra Energy internal accountant, you know, talk people that sit down with our ideal clients, why they're such a good partner to work with. And then in a moment, you touched on referral partner, and I'll kind of distinguish between a referral partner versus like somebody that we're actually forming a partnership with and doing mutual introductions. So to your first, or the heart of your question, there's a couple reasons. First of all, they tend to move slowly. They tend to be a little bit skeptical. Most people who are accountants didn't get in the industry because they're like real risky people and they want to just sell clients things, you know? So as a result of that, they've earned a little bit more trust than most insurance agents or wealth managers have. That's just statistically, that's true. The other reason is because people are scared of the IRS and they don't like paying taxes.
Yep.
So if you are a successful individual, either high net worth or you're a business owner, you know, you want to be working with a good accountant. You view them as somebody who's in your corner. And not only do you view them as that, but you are also required to see them on an ongoing basis. You know, it could be once every 6 months, at least once a year, because you got to file your tax returns. If you're a business owner, you have to do it more often. So by default, you have this built-in kind of ongoing communication between an accountant and a client that you don't have with somebody like a business banker, a broker, an attorney, you know, even a good estate plan attorney. How often are they really talking to their clients, right? It's not nearly as often as a good accountant. And the same thing with a wealth manager or an insurance agent. You know, maybe people are doing annual reviews with their clients, but it's typically not nearly as often as they are speaking to their accountants. So you'll talk to accountants that are like, yeah, 15, 20 years I've been working with so-and-so. I also work with their kids, you know? So they're kind of by default put on a little bit of a different pedestal. So let me pause there and just say that's kind of the reason why I think they make ideal partners to really have the, because they have the trust and the credibility of the client. I mean, that's the bottom line. The second part of the question that I just want to kind of highlight here, and this is something that's, I think, interesting for your listeners to consider, is I now look at the referral model. We call it the outdated referral model, where, you know, I'm going to work with you and I'm going to send you a client every time they say, hey, you know, I inherited some money. Do you have any financial advisor that I can sit down with? Or I had a child. Do you have anybody that can sell me some life insurance? Yes. You know, here's Siri, give him your name and your phone number, maybe an email address, give him a call. And that's a very kind of traditional way of working together, but it's quite outdated. It never actually even worked that well. Anyways, I think really the shift in the massive opportunity in the industry is to not even try to go for referrals anymore, but to form more strategic partnerships where you and I are sitting down together and we are intentionally going through our clients looking for proactive and holistic planning opportunities. So it's much more of a virtual family office type of dynamic than it is a trading referral dynamic. And then once we kind of engage in that virtual family office, not only do we bring our expertise to the table, being tax planning and wealth management or insurance, but through that process, we're now inviting our clients to give us more information about things like their legal needs, their business advisory services needs, you know, things that are outside of our wheelhouse. So we truly get an opportunity to create a much deeper relationship with our clients.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. I was watching one of your videos on YouTube and you were talking about how one of the changes with accountants is it's not so much of preparing taxes and tax returns, and now it's becoming more value-based. Can you touch on that? Like, what does that mean to be like more of a value-based accountant?
Yeah, 100%. And that's kind of one of the major shifts that I said, you know, 2014, 2015, I think it was slightly ahead of its time, just because the majority of accountants didn't believe that this was the direction things were going. Now it's like, unless they've been living with their head in the sand, they understand compliance-based work, being filling out a tax return or doing audit, doing bookkeeping. Those are, if you want to continue to make your living doing that, you're going to have to be working harder and harder and getting paid less and less, okay? Because of things like technology and outsourcing. It's just, that's a commodity and it's the prices are being pressed down, much like the fees that we can charge as asset managers. They're being compressed. So how do we then bring value? We bring value by giving people what they want. What do they want? They don't want a tax return, right? That they have to have that, but they don't want it. What do they want? Well, they want to save money in taxes. They want to have less financial concerns. They want to feel more confident about their future. They want to feel better about the business. They want to generate more revenue. So there's things that they want. And then the question becomes, well, how do we bring that to them? Well, we have to understand what is tax planning. It's proactive. It's getting ahead of changes. It's sitting down and actually rolling up the sleeves and doing a little bit of proactive work, right? And it's also partnering with other professionals that bring skill sets to the table that maybe we don't necessarily have. And so by doing this, you get, ideally, you get away from the idea of I'm going to charge you $500 for your tax return, or I'm going to charge you $300 an hour. And instead, you look at what is oftentimes referred to as value-based billing, which is I'm no longer paying attention to the amount of time that something takes me. What I'm paying attention to is how much value am I bringing you? The more value I bring you, the more you're willing to pay for that, right? So let's say, for example, you're a business owner and you made $300,000 last year. You paid $90,000 in taxes. If I go to you and say, okay, you can pay me $500 to file your tax return and you're going to still pay $90,000 in taxes next year, or I can sit down with my team. We can sharpen our pencil. We're going to spend a couple hours doing this. So it is going to cost a little bit more, but I'm going to be able to reduce that $90,000 down to $50,000. Now I just saved you $40,000. How much are you going to be willing to pay? A little bit more than $500?
Absolutely.
Of course. Right. So, well, I'm not going to charge $500 anymore. I'm now going to charge $3,500, but I just saved you whatever that example was, $40,000 in taxes. It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. So that's the whole concept of value-based billing, is letting go of this outdated model, like I'm going to charge you for a product or I'm going to charge you per hour. And instead, I'm going to charge you for bringing a skill set and a team to the table based on the results that we deliver to you.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. You know, I see this too on the infinite banking side. It's not so much about just providing whole life insurance. It's more of conceptual. It's more of value based. How can we, you know, maneuver? How can we reduce taxes for the future? How can we become our own sources of financing? So I definitely see it. I agree with you. And is this what Elite Resource Team does? They help, for example, CPAs or accountants, like you said, and insurance agents and advisors create these strategic partnerships. Can you give us some examples of some recent partnerships that you've seen?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And that was a great connection with more of the bank on yourself concept, because you're spot on. You know, you're focusing on how do we improve a client's situation now and in the future, and get away from the idea of like being put in a specific box. So in terms of what we do, yeah, there's a couple of things. I mean, first of all, that sounds obvious. Like, let's work together and bring more proactive and holistic planning to clients. And as a result, we create a win-win-win. They get a better experience and better service. We deepen our relationship. And as a result of bringing more value, we can charge more and we can earn more. The problem or challenge is we are, you know, that old book, like Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, something along those lines. Like, that's essentially a very similar dynamic between an accountant and an advisor, whether it's an insurance agent or a wealth manager. The point is, they're wired in different ways. They use different words to communicate, and they have different goals. So, as a result of those things, historically, they have not played very well in the sandbox together. They're more traditionally, they're more concerned with protecting what's theirs and making sure they're kind of mitigating the potential risks from the other factors. You know, you hear things like, well, they're deal killers, they're salesmen, you know, they're always getting in the way. So what we do, first of all, is we help them understand each other's position and mindset and experience. So like, as soon as you can see it from the other person's perspective, now you start understanding why they're like that. Like, it's not by choice. It's probably because they have a good reason. They've had some bad experiences, and that's the reality that there's a lot of bad professionals out there. So what we try to do, first of all, is help them understand each other's perspective and help them use language that communicates with the other person. Then we say, okay, what's the skill set that you bring to the table? What's the skill set that you bring to the table? We look at it like I'm a business owner and you're a business owner. How do we strategically work together to create better results? From there, it's very simple. We just need to lead them through a process of developing trust in a relationship, developing like communication. So when they sit down with a prospect or a client, they're saying the same things that mean the same thing to each other. And then we give them a step-by-step process to walk through that ultimately leads the client to having a better ability to identify their concerns and their problems, and then help them understand between your skill sets and a team that we've developed that they're welcome to plug into. We've spent 12 years developing a virtual family office, some of the best professionals in North America. So we help them plug into that team. So if it's within their skill set, they can handle it. You know, you get a client that's a perfect bank on yourself client, like you are the specialist. Like, you're the one that should get that done. But let's say you get a client that needs to fund a buy sell agreement. Well, you're likely not an attorney and you probably are not going to want to draft that agreement. So let's bring an attorney in that's going to do that. Same thing with an estate plan, or, you know, on and on. So between their experience and then a team of professionals, we teach them how to legitimately work better together. Offer that type of proactive experience for a client, and then create that win-win by really monetizing it. So obviously the client gets a better experience, and then both professionals generate more revenue for their business.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, and I do come across that a lot. Like, for example, where it's an estate issue or something about, like, you know, complex taxes. I'm not a tax professional or a legal professional, as you mentioned, you know, so I would definitely need the help of an attorney or an accountant on certain cases, especially high net worth cases. And, you know, it's definitely true that not all accountants or lawyers are going to be open to all strategies. So I've came across situations where we're going through a solution and it's almost a perfect solution as far as taxes goes for the future. It's going to be an after tax situation where they don't have to pay taxes in retirement, but the accountant, because he or she's not familiar with it, they'll simply just say you're already in a good tax situation right now. You don't need to add any other components. And it's because of the risk level that they have. They don't want to take, they think they're taking unnecessary risks. And that's why the client would probably avoid it just because the accountant said so. And, you know, so having this right here, Elite Resource Team, would avoid a lot of those conflictions where people can all, the professionals can all agree on the same things in favor of the client. Obviously, that's all this is about. It's in favor of the clients and not so much in favor of the professionals.
Well, you nailed it. I mean, the example you said, right? You have come up with a situation because of your experience, your licensing, your background. You've identified a way to improve a client's situation now and in the future. You didn't have a relationship with the accountant that wasn't educated before they got put on the spot. They made a knee-jerk reaction or decision, which is, I'm not comfortable. Essentially, that's what they're saying. I don't understand enough to be comfortable with it. And as a result, like, yeah, you know, it's kind of a bummer for you. You don't get a new client, but think about it. Like, it's really the client that you just described that's missing out. Because now what do they do? Well, like, status quo, like maybe they just keep, you know, funding something that wasn't working that well to begin with. And then the accountant is just kind of status quo as well. It's not like they really deepened the relationship. They didn't improve the client's circumstance. They didn't generate any more revenue by saying no. Mm-hmm. So that is essentially what you just described. I think the downside, it's the lose-lose-lose model, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And so much better scenario is you and the accountant build the relationship and the trust. You educate one another so you understand what each other is looking for and looking at. And then by the time you identify this client, you now come to the table together as a united front. You present this to the client and the client ends up going, whoa, like the two of you are on the same team. You've given me so much clarity and confidence in this decision. Like, absolutely, let's move forward. And then that is the opposite, which I would describe as a win-win-win.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I agree 100%. I want to dive a little bit deeper into Elite Resource Team and what they do. Is it like a course that the advisors or accountants would purchase, or how can you walk us through like what happens when they become part of the team?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we did when we launched Elite Resource Team, which was late 2014, is we basically just looked at, okay, what's everything we've been doing in order to build these types of relationships and as a result, grow a pretty thriving business? And so we took all of that communication in terms of scripting, email templates, videos, phone scripts, you know, all of that type of communication, and we put it into a course, essentially. So it's a online course where people have access to recorded videos, as well as all of the training manuals and appendix with all of our scripting, our talking tools. We have built proprietary software. So an advisor and an accountant can lead a client through a kind of a step-by-step planning process that creates an output for the advisor and accountant to look at together. And then we've built the team of professionals, as I said, that they can plug into anytime something's outside of their wheelhouse. So essentially the goal is to have everything from like A to Z in terms of an insurance agent or a wealth manager that wants to build strategic relationships or alliances with accountants. And then we have two group calls a week where we sit down and we actually kind of role play with them. Okay, what did they say? How did it go? How could we improve that better next time? What clients are you and the accountant working with? Let's kind of dissect those and we can talk about what specialists you might want to bring in for that circumstance. Then we do live events 6 times a year. They could even either attend virtually or they could attend in person. And then we have a private online community as well. So they could go 24/7. We've got, you know, nearly 1,000 members. They could go, hey, just finished up a meeting. Here was my experience. Or, you know, we always encourage them to share positive success along the way. So that way people are kind of cheering the community as it's continuing to grow and improve. So those are primarily what we provide is all of the recorded material, is all of the actual training material, the training manuals and the scripts, the software, the training community, the group Q&A calls, and then the in-person or virtual events.
And since, like, for example, I'm in Chicago, so could I, in theory, create strategic partnerships with, you know, advisors and, or not advisors, accountants or lawyers in California or Florida or New York? Is that like possible to, in other words, to do virtually?
100%. I would actually say, if you look at what COVID did for the virtual space, I mean, things were clearly like going, look, you and I are just sitting down on Zoom right now, right? I mean, think about how difficult it would be for us to meet in person.
Yeah.
So COVID probably accelerated what would have taken maybe 5 years into 15 months, 18 months, something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's over 75% of the new partnerships that are being formed completely virtual.
Okay.
So you got, you know, an advisor in a small town in Michigan working with an accountant in San Francisco, or an advisor in Florida working with an accountant in Indiana. I mean, it's there's really no limit now mm-hmm. to the types of clients you can work with, the types of CPAs or accountants you can form partnerships with, and to the types of professionals that you have access to. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, you're right. We had no choice with COVID, right? We had to do everything virtually. So yeah. It definitely did speed things up.
Yeah.
Well, Anton, it's been really nice having you on. I appreciate, you know, the transparency and letting us know about the program. How can listeners connect with you and learn more about Elite Resource Team?
Yeah, great question. So would be happy to answer any questions, either myself or my team. You can email support@elitert.com. Our website is just elitert.com. And then we've got obviously Facebook and Instagram channel, but we also have a YouTube channel where we come out with 1 to 2 new videos a week, just tons of free educational content. Mm-hmm. And so I would encourage you to either Google or YouTube Elite Resource Team. And part of the reason you referenced, and I appreciate that, the transparency, obviously I'm passionate about this. Like, we could talk about this for hours, but part of the reason is because you're seeing right now the beginning stages of industries that are being disrupted. Mm-hmm. And so I use the analogy, I had an event that I was speaking at a couple of weeks ago. I was like, if you could go back to 2015 and sit in a conference with 400 people and ask them how many from the airport got an Uber or a Lyft, it was a very small, I mean, if anybody, right? Yeah. I don't even know when somewhere around that phase. But the point is, that was the beginning stages of an industry being disrupted. Same thing with Airbnb and VRBO with the Marriotts, and that, you know, those are disrupting an industry.
Yes.
So right now you have technology and you have partnerships that are forming that are literally disrupting the wealth management, the insurance, the accounting space. And it's just the beginning phases, in my opinion, of this window. And so that's why we're trying to push out as much content as we can, whether it's with us or people just having that light bulb go off and forming their own partnerships. Like, this is the direction that the industries should be going, because it legitimately creates that win-win-win for both the client, the professional, and the advisor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Thank you. I like you said, I could definitely talk about the subject too for hours. It's definitely an intriguing subject. It's important. And it's definitely something that's going to change in the future. I agree with you on that. I'll be sure to put in all the links that you mentioned in the show notes, so that way people can just click and go right to you. And then, yeah, your YouTube video is pretty cool. Your YouTube channel is pretty cool. Yeah, I think you have like 130 videos up right now. So it's really cool. Yeah. And I look forward to reconnecting with you and staying in touch.
Sounds great, my friend. Thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you. To learn more about what we do and how we can help you grow more wealth, please visit www.finassetprotection.com. That's FIN asset protection. The topics presented in this podcast are for general information only and not for the purposes of providing legal, accounting, or investment advice. On such matters, please consult a professional who knows your specific situation.